Welcome to The Journey Yates. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and spend a few moments with us as we share some music and dialogue with you. Welcome, everyone, to the Journey 8. Tonight, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
And I thought we would break out of the mold of our typical show, and we're going to try and bring some clarity to y'all concerning certain events that have been taking place. Events that I have named the Shock and Awe Campaign Phase T. You guys can fill in the blank as to what you think the T stands for. You know, we are. I have to tell you, sometimes my humor just gets the best of me. I'm going to be found dead in an alley someday. Anyway, we are about bringing you closer to Jesus. Our primary function. However, in the 21st century, the term talk it out is to be tagged with the term walk it out. In other words, talking is fine, but action is even better. Right?
Amen.
You know, that's why there's a book in the New Testament called The Acts of the Apostles. All right. So we're going to use the music and the words, the Bible, and the undying patriotism of two people who wish to touch unknown numbers of you out there. There's many of you. There's got to be 12 at least.
I would hope there'd be at least 12 on the internet.
All right, maybe 13. But anyway, the concept is we want to reach everybody because it is not just us Americans who are being impacted by these orders. I'm trying to hold my tongue. So, Ryan, I mean, you're a seminary student. How's things on that front? How are people starting to feel?
I think that at the beginning when the election was over and it happened, everybody was really shocked and upset and just numb and paralyzed. I think now that the inauguration has happened and the Women's March has happened, people have seen what it feels like and what it looks like to be in solidarity with each other and to march together, where there are millions of people together doing a common thing in protest. Mm-hmm. So I think people have come to realize that they're not in the minority if they feel disenfranchised by this new government, and that has been very empowering. So I think most of the people that I know here in Denver are very much in the it's time to protest and it's time to fight phase. Not everybody is quite there yet. So we're starting to marshal ourselves and get ready for the big fight, which is going to take a long time.
Yes.
It doesn't just happen. It's not just one march. It's right. Not one protest. It's going to be a long haul.
One of the things I wanted to say is to all of you out there, please know the information in this show tonight may not reflect the position of the BBS Network Incorporated. However, my faith lies in the fact that BBS has supported me for over 3 years. And I know that we can speak freely as guaranteed by the First Amendment and the Constitution of the United States, that we have the freedom to our own religion, and so on and so forth. Now, it's funny that you mentioned about protesting and gathering, and that's kind of, I think, the ball of wax that you and I have to try to mold into a shape that looks like. I mean, yesterday, for instance, and tell me if you felt like this yet, Ryan. Yesterday, I woke up and I said, I wish Martin Luther King was here. I wish John Kennedy was here. I wish Abraham Lincoln. And I'm going down the list of my, you know, idolized, I guess you'd say, ancestors and the people that gave their lives. And I visioned Arlington National Cemetery and all the white crosses. People died for this country because they believed in what this country was. And I have to say was for the moment, because I never thought I would see what's happening today, you know?
That's true. But I would say, even though we don't have those people in America right now, I think we do have heroes and people that just haven't stepped up yet. And that's where we come in. We all know people who fight, who care about our country, but they haven't raised their voice yet. And it's time for them to start to do that.
Yeah, and I think as we and other radio people start encouraging them that they're not going to get, you know, hopefully not going to get drug off to some prison cell and, you know, left for, you know, a million years. You know, I believe that this past week has confirmed for us that our best and highest good is not enough, being upheld, or is not being upheld enough by our government officials. They don't seem to get it, you know? It was sad for me to watch Obama walk up those stairs and say goodbye. I would have given him another 4 years in a heartbeat, because he brought justice and fairness. You know, he would never, in fact, the speech he made today, if y'all haven't heard it, you need to tune in to one of your news stations and listen to him. I don't know if reprimand is the proper word. President T, because I can't say the name, about racial profiling. Because let's get real. That's what's happening to people that are being turned away from the gates of this country. It's racial profiling and nothing more. Call it what it is.
Well, to be even more clear, we should state quite clearly that America has a race problem.
Yes.
We do. And it's not just African Americans. It's not just Asian. And we talk a lot about Muslim, but when we do that, we're really talking about Arabs. Mm-hmm. And you should own that and be clear about it.
And being the patriot that I am, I think of Ellis Island, and I think of the thousands and thousands of immigrants that came through the doors of that place to be processed and to be American citizens. And they came from all over the world, and we never turned them away unless there was some kind of disease concern or something like that. And in the 21st century, we've lost every bit of what we gained in the 20th century.
You're absolutely right as far as immigration. America is one of the few countries that takes the poor and children and people that we don't necessarily think will benefit our country. If you go to Europe and other places, they take people that have a certain education and they take people that they need in their country for their economic well-being. And we're one of the few countries that don't do that. And we shouldn't lose that, because that's what America stands for. That's our values and that's what we are. And it's a very Christian value that we do that with immigrants, that we take everybody.
It's, you know, the reality is most of us, I want to say younger persons, but I'm 65. Most of us are third and fourth generation immigrants. Our parents just didn't land here, you know, from some space noodle or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And who are we? And there, I can recite many a Bible passage about this, but who are we to say in this generation, we're closing the doors, I'm sorry, the country is closed today? It's embarrassing. It's frustrating. It's all those things. And it is contrary to the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, when you think about it, Jesus is, you know, walking around all these little towns around where he was raised and everything. And he was an immigrant. He was a foreigner. And
a person of color.
Yes, he was. And so back in those days, many of you know, it was a sin almost to not welcome a stranger and feed them when they came knocking on your door. You know, I don't see that happening right now. I don't see a lot of things happening right now. And no one's more frustrated than the ministers in this country who truly believe that you love somebody and you deal with them so that they can turn around and love somebody. You know, we're breaking the chain. So, speaking of breaking the chain, Mr. Engineer, let's play this. Oh, do you have them loaded up yet? Yes, he does. Okay. So let's play number two song, which is one of my favorites by Matthew West. And it's called Hello, My Name Is.
My name is regret. I'm pretty sure we have met every single day of your life.
I just received a notice over my phone, and I'm just going to read it for all of you. Washington Post has confirmed Trump is working on an anti-gay executive order. Anti-LGBT, as we call it. I really didn't think it was going to happen that fast. What are we going to do? Have to have a special card that identifies us? Or should we wear the uniforms that they wore during the Holocaust, of which this administration could not even say the word Jew on Holocaust Remembrance Day? They mentioned everybody but the 6 million Jews, which are the reason there is a Holocaust Remembrance Day.
You've kind of shocked me that I'm quiet, because I'm so shocked. But when everything can be done in our government through an executive order, everything can happen very quickly. And I have yet to hear of anything that he has done through the Congress. And that's a problem. As a democracy, we can't function with a dictator making all of our decisions for us. And the question for me is, when is the government going to step up and say some of this stuff is not legal?
Well, I don't know. I know there are people who are, you know, the ACLU, for one, is pulling together their ranks and trying to get organized to start filing lawsuits. The problem with lawsuits and the problem with working through this maze that he's creating is it takes time. And for me, that means people suffer unnecessarily. And I truly believe the man's ultimate concept of what he's doing is to cleanse, like Hitler, the American public to where we're cute little blonde-haired, blue-eyed Anglo-Saxon kids. And we all look alike, and we all talk alike, and we all are alike.
I think you're almost giving him too much credit. I think it's very simple with him. He wants to deflect attention from himself, and he wants us all to be afraid of each other. And we can't let him do that, because there's no reason for us to be afraid of each other. Hopefully, we're all on the same side, and we want what's best for our country and for each other. And that's the fear, is that he's now brought in fear into our public discourse and that he's going to divide us with it. I think that's his intention.
Yes, and the second part of the text message I got is religious freedom order undermining LGBT rights. Press secretary dodged the question today.
Of course it did.
For those of you out there that don't understand why this is so upsetting, as a minister, we have, I know a lot of people think we do, but we have limited power. We're ministers, you know, but we're human beings also. And that's why tonight had to happen, because we are seeing so many of our brothers and sisters coming to us, and they're suffering, and they're scared, and they're overwhelmed, and they're ready to hide in any cave they can until this blows over. You know, scripture is very clear about the end times and what will happen. And unfortunately, some of this is very like what the book of Revelation had outlined for end times. Now, I'm not trying to predict anything, and please don't hold me to that. I'm just saying. All right. So, Ryan, do you want to start off the second half, since we talked about this, or what do you want to do?
Sure, I'll start. It feels like we're in a place where what I wanted to talk about is less important. We have spent a lot of time in my communities in Denver talking about ways to fight. And it starts with, for us, is being aware of what's happening, being awake, and staying open, which means reading the news, following what's happening. But I almost, in some respects, hate to start there, because people then tend to get overwhelmed with sadness and get overwhelmed with emotion by all the stuff going on, and then they get crippled and they can't act. So you need to keep a certain level of self-care that when you start feeling overwhelmed by it, then shut it off, because we will be getting inundated with a whole bunch of stuff happening that we not only disagree with, but will frighten us. So the first thing is to be awake and to be aware. And the second thing really is that you need to take a risk, take a lot of risks, because we can't afford to just stay and do what's comfortable. We don't have time for that. And people will suffer if you say to yourself, well, you know, I'd really like to go to that march, but I've got work, so I'm just going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
You could miss everything if you don't make it a priority. And I'm not saying, therefore, that you should be a raging activist and do everything, but you do need to do something. Marching is a start. Writing letters to your politicians that are supposed to represent you is a second thing to do. But I think, to be really truthful, I'm not certain I trust my government at the moment. So protesting for me is what I'm going to put my energy into. Marching, being vocal. They're obvious places to start, but I think they're necessary places. We could do other things. Like, it's important that we support each other. So some of us may not be comfortable out on the streets marching, or we may have terrible shifts if we're working retail or something and we're working on the weekends when most marches are happening. It's important to support those people that we know that are doing that work, and not to diminish people that are supporting the cause in that way, because we're not all warriors and we're all not fighters and protesters. And we need to accept that about each other, that we all bring different gifts and abilities, and we need to all work within that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one thing, and I was living in Los Angeles in the 80s during the AIDS crisis and all the protests and the marches that we had. And here's the thing. It's one thing to march. It's another thing, as you said, to support. Bottles of water on a table where the marchers can pick them up, and banners. And I mean, there's a thousand things that you can do to help, you know, the process. And the process goes something like this. A group of people, I don't care if it's 20 people or 5 people, a group of people have decided to get a permit to walk down Main Street at a certain time on Saturday. And 20 more people who cannot walk because of physical disabilities or whatever, say, I'll be stationed at so-and-so with nice cold water for y'all. And the next person will say, I'll make all the banners so that you guys don't have to worry about that. The idea of networking becomes crucial now.
That's and right. We all need each other.
We need each other, yes. So in this section of the show, I wanted to go through some of these things, and this sentence kept coming up in my mind, and I'm going to put it out there to all of you. All 13 of you that are listening. Oh, it's 14 now. We're up to 14. A friend of yours must have beaten you.
That's right. That's what those cards are for.
I kept thinking of this sentence, and it goes like this. Whose country is this anyway? Whose country is this? Is it people sitting in a White House on a hill? Is it all the executives that make millions of dollars a year? Is it fill in the blank? The bottom line is, it is our country. We the people. That is part of a document that everyone should be reading today. We the people. Not, oh, Mr. President, I'm writing this because I'm oh so capable. I know more about ISIS than the generals do. So I'll just pull him off of that committee he's on and replace him with some PR guy. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to PR. We're going to show whatever we're supposed to be showing. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful to the Americans who still have some kind of attachment, that they haven't figured out what this person really is. And they're still, yeah, this is such a good thing. Close our borders. Let's get secure. It's called isolationism. And isolationism leads to dictatorial behavior because no one can see what you're doing because you've closed your borders. Thank God we have satellites.
But it's true, and it goes back to fear. We can't allow that to happen. That's not what America is, living fear-based. And it's so unbiblical that I can't even stress it enough. To live in a space where there's no hope, and where the hope we do get comes from our dictatorial leader, not from our God, is very dangerous. And that's why it's important to combat the fear, to be educated, to know what's happening, and to know that everything that you hear isn't always true.
Well, and my suggestion to all of you across the country is to double and triple check your facts before you plaster them on a placard or a banner. Make sure what you're putting in writing is absolutely true. And here's the reason why. You can have 20 marches where every piece of information has been checked and is true, and nothing is said. You can have one march where one placard says one thing that isn't quite true, and we will lose so much momentum, it won't even be possible to comprehend. So when you're in that phase of I don't want to say recovery, but when you're in that phase where you're fighting, and not necessarily for your life, but your children's lives, be sure everything you say and do is the truth, and it'll make our job much easier.
Another thing that will make our jobs much easier is that if we protest nonviolently, it's easy to get angry and to get so fed up that we think the only thing that will solve anything is violence, and it doesn't. And I don't just mean physical violence. I mean the way we speak to each other, the rhetoric we use, that we other our opponents politically instead of bringing them into the fold. And part of what got us to where we are today is that we were so divisive politically, and that we had two really dominant camps and there was nobody in between. There aren't any moderates anymore. And that's because our political discourse has polarized everything. And you can also blame the redistricting and how everything is stacked against everything. You know, all the districts are, you've got Republican districts and Democratic districts, and the elections are basically already decided because you've got all these safe votes. Right. And that's helped to marginalize people in the middle and make our parties parties of extreme positions, which is not helpful.
And it's not representative of what the American people really are. I mean, there are some of us who do sit in the middle until the day of the election and finally make our minds up. You know, I'm not saying that's me, but I'm saying the other thing is to remember Martin Luther King and make him proud. He never raised a hand to anyone other than in defense of his own face. He never made someone feel less than. So you can resist, you can revolt, and you can have marches and really start letting this country know, this government, know that we are not going to stand by. I am not standing by and going back in the closet, that's for sure. I'm 65 and I fought long and hard for the few rights we have. And there is no way I'm giving them up, not without some kind of heavy and hard hitting conversations.
But I will say that when you're protesting and when you're fighting, it's okay to not be nice, to be disruptive. In fact, we need to be disruptive sometimes to have our voices get heard. So, and I say that because oftentimes you'll see groups like Black Lives Matter, for existence, for example, and they'll shut down a freeway with their protest. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in a place of privilege will say, well, that's inappropriate and that impacted me and that made me less sympathetic to the cause because they are disruptive. We're going to mm-hmm. see more of that kind of behavior, and we should, because that's what gets people's attention. And we need to understand why that kind of protesting is happening.
I know what it's like to be arrested by sitting on the steps of a building and not moving. And when they went to pick me up to put me in the paddy wagon, you just act limp and give them, by doing that, you give them every hardship without ever hurting anyone. I'm never going to advocate to anyone listening to this show that you should retaliate. I don't believe in violence. I won't have a part in it, but I will have a part and a say. Oh, talk about saying. I forgot an important piece of information at the beginning of the show. Oh, look, it's almost the end of the show. The phone number, you're always free to call in and talk to us. And the phone number to call in, and we're still on for a few minutes, is a toll-free number. It's 888-627-6008. Call us if you have something burning on your mind. And the Journey 8 does have a phone number if in the middle of the week you think of something that you really wanted to say and weren't brave enough, or something really bothering you and you need prayer. It's area code 209-743-5114. And Ryan doesn't know it yet, but we'll be tossing that phone like a football.
Okay, that's good to know. I love football.
This has been a great host-co-host relationship because I brought him in and told him nothing. And now, look at him. Yeah.
If he told me anything, I'd be too terrified to do it.
Yes, that's me, the terrible. Judy, the terrible. and so, you know, you're free to call anytime and raise a question or have a comment. I always tell people that if you have a comment, please remember that we are ministers. So we don't engage in talk that is not productive. Let's put it that way. All right. So whose country is it anyway? I want to see that on posters. I want to see it on bumper stickers. Whose country is it anyway? And I don't know. We got another show in 2 weeks. And who knows? You know, start taking notes and and we'll catch up and try and figure out. I want to play this next song. And it is one that I play for myself on days that I feel lazy and don't want to do anything. And if you have it, Mr. Engineer, Mercy Me and Move.
I'm not about to give up, because I heard you say there's gonna be brighter days. There's gonna be brighter days. I won't stop, I'll keep my head up. No, I'm not here to stay. There's gonna be brighter days. There's gonna be brighter days. I just might bend, but I won't break. As long as I can see your face.
That's an awesome song, and if I was down and out before I played it, I am now full of energy. It's like one of those green drinks that they make at those health food thingies, until I drank a lot of those health food thingies. One announcement I do want to make, I promised I would make it, is our church, as you know, is Life's Journey United Church of Christ in Burlington, North Carolina. And I know there's a few of you out there in Burlington that are listening to us. Friday night is our spaghetti dinner. It's a fundraiser for our new church we're building. And it is my partner's own spaghetti sauce recipe, which if you've never tasted it, you cannot die. You must taste it before you leave this world. It's awesome. So we'll be serving that at the church. I think it's $8 for the dinner. And we will have quarts of spaghetti sauce if you're so impressed. You can take some home. We will have a drive-through carry out window, so if you don't want to sit down and eat with us, which I would be personally offended, but if you don't if you don't want to or can't, stop by the drive through window and we'll pack you up with some dinners to go. You're gonna get the spaghetti, of course, and I think there's a salad and just all kinds of really groovy stuff. So that's Friday night. It starts, I don't know when. Drive by the church. There's a big banner out there that tells when it starts. I am going to get shot. I am a terrible advertising person, aren't I? Oh, me, oh my. I never took an advertising class.
But it's such a friendly and open church, so friendly that you can actually have a drive-thru at the church.
Yes! Is that not cool? It's actually the back door to the kitchen, but in our fantasy world, that's a drive-thru with young ladies and men that will be there to take your order, and you'll feel just like you're at Sonic, but with much better food. All right. I wanted to remember that when I remembered it, because my brain is a sieve.
That is what I'm here for.
That's right. As the sands of the hourglass, my brain is a sieve. No. all right. So it's 5 p.m. to 7:30, I've been told. Okay. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I hope a lot of you can come out. I will be there. I don't know if that's, you know, good or bad, but I will be there to consume the spaghetti that I've been smelling cooking on the stove for days now. And we will have a place inside where you can sit down and eat and spend some time with us. Look at that. Salad, bread, dessert, and a beverage is all included in the $150 a plate charge. Oh, that's not right. That's the governor's ball. I got it.
Donations, I'm sure, are welcome.
It's $8. And, I probably just lost about 40 people from the list. What? They're charging $150 for that. That's outrageous. I'm going over there right now and telling them a piece of my mind. On the day I was ordained as a minister, my life changed. I could no longer tell jokes from the pulpit because I was not student clergy any longer. However, I have found covert ways to slide them in. And since $8 is what I'm told, yes. And since this is our show, we can say what we can. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. So let's review. We have a couple minutes and then we'll be gone. Let's review. Number one. He's looking at me.
Like, oh, you're waiting for me to respond. Number one. Be awake and know what's going on in the world.
That's right. Stay awake. And we mean awake mentally, you know, keep abreast because things change by the day, by the hour. Okay. Number two, try to control your fear.
Yes.
Don't watch scary movies right now.
Or the news, unless you have a bottle of wine.
That's right. Or whiskey. You know, we're in the South here. Number three, take risk. Right?
Take more than one.
Oh, you want me to take more than one risk? Do I get paid for this? No. You'll get a stipend. You got to learn that word because it's so popular in churches.
I'm getting ready to do my internship. So, yes, I would like a very large stipend, please.
Oh, yes, a stipend. And last but not least, support each other. Right?
Amen.
Amen.
Support each other. Support each other and support yourself. There are many ways to do this.
Well, yeah. And I would start with a daily devotional.
And do what you're good at. You know, not everybody looks the same and has the same skill set. Do what you're good at and what God calls you to do.
Oh, that's right. Don't step out of your box.
Wait, you know, what did you just say?
Don't step out of your box. I'm not
just
being...
A little bit. You want to stretch yourself.
Don't stretch yourself. Okay, so we're at the end of our time. And I just want to say thank you all for listening. I'll know the numbers by tomorrow and find out whether I still have a job. Oh, wait a minute. I don't get paid, so you can't call it a job. All Ryan and I are trying to say is keep your God and close to you and don't panic. This will all work out.
That's right.
Okay. So
we will be here praying for you.
That's right. So we're going to say goodnight and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much for spending time with us this evening. Please come back again. And remember, be kind in all you do and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Reverend Judy Hosner.